WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Dave Douglas, swept the second annual Jazz Awards this year, which are voted by jazz journalists, musicians, and members of the recording industry. Douglas was voted Innovator of the Year and won in the categories of Best Musician, Composer, and Trumpeter. Jazz critic Francis Davis has described Douglas as one of this era's most technically proficient and imaginative soloists, a man whose horn seems to talk even when he's not using plungers or mutes. Douglas leads several different ensembles in which he works with different compositional styles and instrumental configurations. He's also played in ensembles led by Horace Silver, Don Byron, and John Zorn. Before we meet Dave Douglas, let's hear music from his recent CD, Songs for Wandering Souls, featuring his Tiny Bell Trio. This is his composition, Prolix. Dave Douglas, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
You have, what, about seven different ensembles?
Something like that, yeah.
I know you've been asked this a lot, but why do you have so many different working groups running at the same time?
I think the short answer is I just love music, and I hear it in a lot of different ways, and I have a lot of friends who I like to play with, and this seems to be the only way to do that.
Does each group bring out a different part of your personality?
I'd say more as a composer, I'm challenged in various ways by the different ensembles. The instrumentation is always very different, and the personalities are so important in this kind of music that I really rely on that as a different compositional voice.
I'm wondering if your different compositional styles and the different band configurations that you use are a result at all of having grown up with different kinds of music.
I think so. I was given this idea that all kinds of music are valid and wonderful and nothing is more serious or important than anything else. And I retain that in my approach to learning music and to creating music.
What kind of music did your parents listen to when you were growing up?
My father is an amateur piano player, and he actually taught me my first jazz standards when I was probably 8 or 9, something like that. And he also had a Baroque recorder group that would rehearse at our house on Sundays for a while, probably when I was around the same age, between 7 and 10, 11. So in the record collection in our house, which wasn't huge, it was just that there was a lot of 18th and 19th century classical music, jazz from the earliest period up until maybe the mid-60s. And then I had two older sisters who were listening to the pop music of that time. This is the late 60s. So Stevie Wonder, Jackson 5, the Beatles. And all of that kind of filtered through without any lens and without any feeling that, you know, well, this is, you know, I'm going to be a jazz musician, so I will only listen to Louis Armstrong.
Who controlled the radio and the stereo in your house when you were growing up?
You know, I don't remember so much listening to the radio. I know that's an awful thing to say on NPR, but it was really recordings that I listened to, and I remember very much listening to Stevie Wonder on my own and listening to the Beatles and to different sides from the Smithsonian Jazz Collection, which my father had bought for the house. I tended to gravitate towards the later records in that collection, which were Cecil Taylor's Enter Evening, Thelonious Monk Mysterioso, Miles Davis playing All Blues, John Coltrane playing Alabama. Those were tracks that I listened to hundreds of times and really formed the way I think about music.
Dave Douglas, how did you start playing trumpet? Why trumpet?
I've often asked myself that question because for a long time it was very hard for me. I struggled with technique. I began on piano, I think when I was 5, with piano lessons. When I was 7, my father came home with a trombone from a flea market, and I saw it, and that was it. I was a trombone player for 2 years until I realized I couldn't reach the 7th position.
Oh, your arms too short?
My arms were too short. So, and also, all my friends played trumpet, and they had all the cool parts in the school band. So that was why I switched to trumpet when I was 9.
Did you have the cool parts in the school band?
I'd say that's probably, yeah, like a good 80% of my answer of why I play trumpet.
And this was in what, a marching band? Playing?
So maybe they should give trombones more cool parts so there'd be more trombone players.
Or your arms still would have been short, though.
That's true.
Were there any kind of trumpet cliches that you were either really attracted to or really repelled by? You know, for example, oh, those kind of like really high, long-held notes that Maynard Ferguson was famous for, or,
That's a wonderful, wonderful tradition that I love to hear. But maybe because I've never been able to do it, I've never gravitated towards it. It's, I think I did have a love-hate relationship with the trumpet for a long time. And I would say as a trumpeter, I'm more influenced by saxophone players and guitar players. The way that I think linearly was never directly influenced by a specific trumpet player. It was always, I was hearing tenor sax players in my head.
In an interview that you did with the jazz magazine Jazz Is, you once described the trumpet as an obnoxious instrument, and I was wondering what you found obnoxious about it.
Well, it can be very brash and too loud, and you know, for a long time I played at weddings. This was probably until 92 or so. That was my living, and it was a very funny story that there are always certain people at weddings that ask the band to turn down because it's too loud. But the instrument they always go to is the trumpet. The trumpet's too loud. But if you listen to a wedding band today, you'll realize that it's electric guitars and electric bass and electronic drums. So there's this tradition of the trumpet being the brash instrument that bothers everybody, which can be great. But I also have worked hard to avoid that in my music.
Well, it seems to me you've really managed to wring a lot of very interesting sounds out of the trumpet and get quite a wide range of sounds and snarls and all kinds of things. It seems to me you've probably done a lot of experimenting at home, trying to see exactly what sounds you're capable of getting out of the instrument.
Absolutely. I think it's important for musicians to try and extend the vocabulary of their instrument and come up with something that maybe nobody's found before or that, you know, can be unique to their improvising language.
Mm-hmm.
I've also been, you know, driven forward in that pursuit by a lot of the musicians I've worked with. Just from being on stage with someone like John Zorn or with Han Benink or with Mark Feldman, there's an incredible challenge to be constantly surprising in the sounds that you can get out of your instrument. So I've learned a lot on stage, mm-hmm. just from trying really hard.
Well, I thought we could listen to the opening of your composition, Unhooking the Safety Net, from your album Constellations. And I think there's a lot of interesting trumpet sounds that you get on this one. That's Dave Douglas.
Oh, the band was just about
to come
in.
Yeah, I know. I was just showing you off there. It seems to me it must be kind of difficult to be blowing so outside as that and yet really maintain control of what you're doing.
Well, I don't know. I haven't heard that in a long time. That's pretty obnoxious right there, I'd say. But also there was some late Beethoven thrown in right at the end. I forgot all about that.
So that went right past me, I have to confess.
I don't know what's going on there, but it's an introduction to a group piece, and a lot of the themes in there come from the composition which follows.
My guest is trumpeter and composer Dave Douglas. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is trumpeter and composer Dave Douglas. I want to play another facet of your work, and this is your kind of reinterpretation of a Robert Schumann piece called Vanitatis Vanitatum. Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I mean, for all I know.
Right. Well, I guess neither of us are authorities on this. This is from your album Constellation. You've done this several times, taking a classical piece and reinterpreting it. Mm. Can you say anything about what you did with the arrangement with this particular piece?
Well, it's originally a piece for cello and piano, and I've been making these arrangements for trumpet, guitar, and drums. So we reorchestrate initially the material as it is, and then we figure out ways to bend it and shape it. I usually pick a section or maybe a small bit of the material and to use as a development section for improvisation, and that often changes the whole form of the piece. So by the time we're finished working on it, it's turned into quite a different sounding piece of music.
Okay, well, let's hear the opening of Dave Douglas's rearrangement of this piece by Robert Schumann. Thank you. Plus, the opening of Dave Douglas's rearrangement of Robert Schumann's Vanitatis Vanitatum. You were talking about, you know, creating an arrangement that the musicians could improvise off of. I mean, usually in jazz, or often in jazz, musicians are improvising off the chord changes. And, of course, there aren't chord changes per se in classical music. So talk a little bit about improvising from an arrangement of a classical piece.
Well, I think that the language of American improvised music has grown a lot in the last 30 years, so that we're not merely improvising on just chord changes anymore. I think one of the most interesting developments in the music is how composers interact with improvisers in the ensemble. All different kinds of strategies have evolved from completely free improvisation to very structured textural approaches. Maybe there's all kinds of different things. Pitch information. In fact, it's gotten to the point where certain composers work on the level of complexity of some of the great 20th century composers. So I think that all of these languages are things that I bring to bear in my rearrangements of so-called classical pieces.
You said that in high school your goal was to play with Art Blakey. Why did you want to play a straight-ahead hard bop, which is really so unlike what you're doing now? I mean, I know you can play that, but you've chosen to play such a wide variety of forms.
Well, that music is really exciting. I mean, that to me, that was like some of the most exciting music that I knew was that ensemble. And at that time in the 70s... the group was on tour, and it was killing. It was Bobby Watson was playing, and Valerie Ponomarev was on trumpet, and James Williams was playing piano. It was a great band. It was something that I wanted to do. It was like if you were going to play jazz trumpet, that was the place to be. So that was my goal.
Well, you didn't get to play with Art Blakey, but you did go on the road with pianist Horace Silver, who was in one of Blakey's early great bands. Did it affect your feelings about being a jazz musician at all to be on the road with Silver? What was that experience like?
Oh, I feel like I was really blessed to be in that position at that time, and I'm really thankful that Horace Silver put up with what I was trying to play at that time. I feel that. I had come in trying to play as much like Woody Shaw as I could, and I don't feel that it was really maybe serving the music as well as it could have. But it was my first real gig like that, and I wasn't maybe as aware as I could have been of trying to do a good job. But Horace was a wonderful person to work with, and I think he's one of the great composers of the century.
Were you very shy at that time?
I think I'm still shy.
did that make it hard for you at all?
No, not particularly, because once you get on the bandstand, you know, you just make music. There's no, there's nothing else going on. And, you know, I had worked really hard to be there, and I was practicing. And, you know, Woody Shaw was my hero, and I've heard a couple tapes of me at that time, and it sounds embarrassingly like Woody Shaw.
My guest is trumpeter and composer Dave Douglas. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is trumpeter and composer Dave Douglas. Now, you studied at the New England Conservatory of Music, the Berklee School of Music, NYU, and I think while you were at NYU, you for a while played on the street. What went over when you were a street musician? What actually caught the attention of passersby, got them to stop, and maybe even put some money in the tin cup or the hat or whatever you had?
You just put your finger on it. That's what the whole thing was about, was figuring out what would make people stop and give you money. So playing the most exciting, fiery music you could at all times was the rule of the band. And that was a really great thing for me. Also, in terms of, you know, technique, what we call chops, to have to cut over electric guitar and bass and traffic on 42nd Street in Times Square at rush hour was really the best education you can get as a trumpet player.
So what were the fiery things that went over?
Well, we would play everything as fast as we possibly could and as loud as we could. And, you know, whenever it was your turn to solo, you'd have to keep the energy as high as possible for as long as possible. And then whenever someone was finished soloing, they would pick up the box and go around and collect the money from the crowd that they had drawn with their solo.
Dave Douglas, since you have so many different groups that you lead and there's so many different sides of your playing, let me ask you to focus in on something, to pick a track of your many records that you particularly like and introduce it for us.
I think it'd be great if you could play just an excerpt from a record called In Our Lifetime, which features my sextet in a tribute to Booker Little. This was recorded in 94. And if you could play some of the first track, that'd be great.
Now, explain to our listeners who Booker Little was.
Booker Little was a fantastic trumpet player and composer who unfortunately died at the age of 23 in 1961. But he left four or five records as a leader. And I felt that some of his music was a little overlooked. So on this record, In Our Lifetime, I've rearranged some of his compositions, and I also wrote a series of pieces that are dedicated to him.
Okay, well, here it is. That's Dave Douglas from his album In Our Lifetime. So what are you working on now?
Well, I just yesterday, actually, was in the studio recording the piece of music that I wrote for the Trisha Brown Dance Company and premiered this summer at the Jacob's Pillow Dance Festival. It's called Five-Part Weather Invention, and they will be performing it with the recording this fall. Next year there are some more live performances, and it's really an exciting new collaboration for me, working with Trisha Brown and using the ensemble Charms of the Night Sky to make live music for dance.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Trumpeter and composer Dave Douglas. He'll perform October 27th at the San Francisco Jazz Festival.